Want to ask you to please pray for the message this morning. And turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 3. And I want to read some verses beginning with verse 1. So we'll begin reading together in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant David king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any rise like unto thee. And I also have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." That's reading the first 14 verses of 1 Kings chapter 3 for a scripture reading this morning. I want to ask you to go back to verse 7. I want to read verse 7 again, where Solomon said, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." And I want you to think about those verses with me here for a little while this morning. I want to use these words for a title. We find these words in the scriptures. We also find these words in a song that's in one of our songbooks here at church. But the title of my message this morning will be, "He Leadeth Me." And I want to ask you to consider with me the thought this morning about the great need of God's people turning to the Lord for His guidance, for His leadership. I'm afraid that there's far too many things that are done without God even being consulted in the matter. But the Lord doesn't want children that are independent of Him. He doesn't want us to be independent. He wants us to depend upon Him. He wants us to lean upon Him. He doesn't want us, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, He doesn't want us to feel like that we are sufficient within ourselves. We're not sufficient within ourselves, is what Paul said, as to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And so we find in these verses, and there's a verse from the 23rd Psalm in verse 3, where David said in that psalm, "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake." And if you stop and think about what is said and contained in the words of just that one verse there, there are three very important points that David made in that statement. First was that God leads me. David said, "He leads me." And then in that verse, he told where God leads him. He leads him in the paths of righteousness. And I want to tell you something today. I'm afraid too that a lot of times that God gets thanked, that there's thanks given to God for things that God really didn't give people. If there's something in your life that does nothing but distract you and lead you away from God, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that God blessed you with it. And so God will not lead us in the ways of evil. We find in the Lord's Prayer that that was one of the things that He taught His disciples to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but rather deliver us from evil. And so David said, he very emphatically stated, "The Lord leads me. And when He leads me, He leads me in the paths of righteousness." And then he said why He does that. He does it for His name's sake, not for mine, not for my own profit or not for my own honor or glory, but the Lord leads me. When He leads me, He leads me in the path of righteousness, and He leads me for His namesake. And so we need to keep those things in mind as we look at and consider these thoughts today. Now, Solomon here, the son of David and Bathsheba, had a great task fall upon his shoulders. He was going to be the king. He was going to take over for his father, David. David had served 40 years for these people as a king. 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. 7 years he reigned in Hebron. But he had served as a king for 40 years. And it was going to fall Solomon's lot to be David's successor. And Solomon was approaching this in what I believe was a very godly attitude. He wasn't allowing the fact that he was going to now be the king. He obviously wasn't allowing that to puff him up. He obviously didn't feel big-headed or boastful in this. He realized that the task that was about to come up on him was actually way too big for him to handle. And I believe today, as God's people, and if I draw a parallel in this today, this is what I would want it to say. I believe that today, as God's chosen people, as the Lord's church, that we have a task to carry out in this world that honestly is too big for us. And I realize more and more, it seems, all the time in trying to be a pastor, that it's just the job is too big for me. And I may not, and I can't really say what level that Solomon realized this on, but I do know that he was humbled here. He was very humbled, obviously, by what we read here in these few verses. He was very humbled in his heart when he was looking at the task before him, and it led him to the statement that I'm just a child. I don't know how to go out. I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to handle this. I don't know how to deal with these things. And so I'm going to look to you, Lord. And so he offered this very unselfish prayer to God. You know, Solomon, in this prayer, one of the beauties of this prayer that we can see is that Solomon in here wasn't asking anything at all for himself. This is a very, very, it's not a self-centered prayer in any way. He looked out and he saw this great multitude, the people of Israel, the people of God, that he was going to be in charge of, that he was going to be their king, and he realized that there were matters before him that were too big for him. And it humbled him. And you know, pride among men is not a good thing. When we get proud, it brings us down. The Bible teaches me that pride goeth before a fall, and pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit, an exalted, elevated spirit, goeth before the fall. Now, Solomon here, I'm sure that he could have said, oh yeah, look at me, I'm the new king. I'm going to be David's successor, you know, I'm going to be the man in charge here. They're going to look at me and say, Solomon, you're the man. But that's not the way he approached it. And he realized that in order to do this and to do this right, that he was going to need divine guidance. That he was going to need a strength stronger than himself to be able to succeed in that position where God was placing him. And I'm telling you today that we need a strength, we need a force in our lives that's stronger than ourselves. I'm going to tell you today what I believe about myself. If you don't believe this about yourself, then that's entirely up to you. But I'll tell you what I believe about myself. If I am left to follow my own inclinations, if I am left to follow my own ideas, if I am left to follow the path that I lay out before myself, I'm going to go in the wrong direction. I'm not going to end up where God would have me to be. I'll tell you what, friends, you can get in big trouble, especially in the work of God. You can get in big trouble thinking too highly of yourself. Putting too much stock in yourself and thinking that you are better than what you are, or that you're better than someone else, will lead you in a bad direction. Jesus Christ made this statement to his disciples when he was here on the earth, and I believe that he intended this to ring true in the ears of all of his children. He simply said, without me ye can do nothing. We need to be careful when we begin to hand out praise, when we begin to give credit for things, we need to always be careful that all the glory goes to God. I once heard it said, and I believe this was a very good way to put it, it really doesn't make much difference who gets the credit for anything as long as God gets the glory. That's what's important. As long as God is honored. If God's not honored here today, if God is not glorified in this service today, then we will have failed in the most important reason for coming together. I would to God today that we would be able somehow to exalt His holy name, to lift Him up, and to praise Him. I'm glad that God leads me. I'm thankful that He is willing to lead us. You know, when we read there in the first three chapters of the Revelation about the problems that were going on there among the seven churches there in Asia Minor, the Lord kept telling them, He kept telling those churches, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You know, some people, I'm afraid today, they think that God has become outdated, obviously, because many people go about just seeking their own pleasures and their own ideas. But I'm going to tell you, friends, today, exactly what I believe with all my heart. I believe that God today, by His Holy Spirit, is able today to speak to us and able today to make us to understand His will. And there's nobody that can guide Fairview Memorial in the right direction like the Holy Spirit can. Does God speak to you? I know that He does. I know that He speaks to His people. I know it by experience. You could say, "Well, preacher, how do you know that it's God speaking to you?" Well, I can't really explain it to you. I just know. God has a distinction in His voice that's like no other. And Jesus said that it's true, didn't He? If you look in the 10th chapter of John, Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." We're not following the hireling. We're following the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're following the great Shepherd of the sheep. David said, "He leads me. He leads me. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me." The Lord promised with the coming of the Holy Spirit, with the Comforter coming to the church, the Lord promised that that Comforter would lead His people. In the Old Testament, when they were led out of Egypt on the Exodus, and listen, it was God that led them out. You know, we may give the credit to Moses. Many people may give the credit to Moses, and I believe that God did use Moses in a mighty way. But I'll tell you what, when those millions of Israelites came together and went out of Egypt on that exodus towards Canaan, towards the promised land, it was God that led them out of there. God led them out of Egypt. God manifested Himself. I believe these things represented the Holy Spirit of God and His leadership. God manifested Himself before those people in the daytime in the pillar of a cloud, and in the darkness, in the night, He manifested Himself by a pillar of fire, and He went before them and He led them through the wilderness toward the promised land. And listen, if you want your life to go the way that it ought to go, you let God be out in front. You let God have the lead. Don't get in front of Him. You know, when we look behind us, what I read in the Bible, when we look behind us, we're supposed to be looking back to tell the devil to stay behind us. We're supposed to be looking forward to God. We're not supposed to be looking backwards and saying, come on, God, catch up. You're too slow for me. We are to let him have the lead. And that's what he did. He went before the children of Israel. When it became necessary, he did stand between them and their enemies. And God will certainly do that for us today. But when they went out of Egypt there, he was leading them. He was guiding them. He was taking them in the direction that he would have for them to go. And Solomon realized here that ruling over these people and leading these people was too big for him. He was going to need wisdom. He was going to need a strength that surpassed his own strength. I'm telling you today, folks, the decisions that face us in our life, those important decisions that face us in our life, you need to talk to God about those things. You need to pray before him and wait for the answer. I want to ask you today, and you don't have to raise your hand or anything like that. You just think about it yourself. You just think about it and you can just answer it in your own heart. But can you relate to things in your life when you got away from God or you got ahead of God and you just decided to take things on yourself and do things your own way and it didn't turn out too good, did it? Didn't come out too good. And it won't. The Lord will lead us in righteous paths. He'll lead us towards the right object. He'll lead us in the right direction if we'll trust him. I don't know how to go in or come out, do you? I don't know how to handle this task that God has given to me. You know, if you stop and think about it, what the Lord left for his church, he left her here in the world to be the agency, to be the organization that would carry the gospel to the world, that would take the good news of salvation out to those that are lost, that need to hear it, and the commission that the Lord left with his church. I don't know how to handle that other than to look to God and say, Lord, you lead us. You guide us. You point us in the direction that you want us to go. We got too many ideas. I mean, we as people, we just got too many of our own ideas. And they cloud our lives. I want to do it this way. I want to do it that way. Me, 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 me. Well, you know what? We ought to stop and think about what God wants in our lives. Because I'm convinced that he will lead us into what he would have us to be. Solomon just didn't know. He said, I just don't know how to do this. I don't know how to go in. I don't know how to come out before this so great a people. Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom that's divine. I need wisdom from you. I need for you, God, to lead me, to guide me and direct me. The Bible says that in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God will lead his people. The voice of God has been speaking to man ever since the first man lived upon the earth. God has been speaking to his creation. God is still speaking to people today. Have you heard his voice
this week? I bet many of you have. If we pray, I mean, if we truly pray and we truly ask God for things the way that Solomon did, if we come humbly before Him and realize that without Him we're nothing, and without Him we can do nothing, and we truly turn our hearts to Him in prayer, and we seek God's will and in our lives, I promise you that for every one of His children that will do that, you're going to hear the voice of the Lord. You're going to hear from Him. Because God is going to lead us and guide us, and He's going to take us in the right direction. Sometimes I believe that I have noticed sometimes when things are not going well in churches, sometimes when it seems like that not very many people are being reached, that the church is not being effective, sometimes it seems like people rise up and they say, well, here's what we need to do then. We need to change this, or we need to change that, or we need to institute this, or we need to institute that, or we need this new, and we need these old things to pass away. Friends, listen, I'm telling you, most of the time, the only thing that we need to do is we need to get God back among us. We need to turn back to God and get God's leadership. I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit makes Himself known among a church, I believe it's attractive to people. I do. I think that's the most important thing that any church can have, is the power of God. It's more important than any activity that you could ever come up with. The Lord left the church here to preach the gospel. And I believe that He is willing to empower her if we'll look to Him for His guidance and His trust, Him for His leadership. David believed the Lord would guide his life all the way through. He said, Thou shalt guide me with Thy counsel, and afterward receive me into glory. The psalmist David believed that God would be with him, that God would guide him, that God would direct his steps and lead his life. Do you believe, do you have faith and trust in your heart that God has the answers for your life? That He'll lead you? That He'll direct you? He directed Solomon. If Solomon would have just stayed with Him, he would have been a good king. If he would have just stayed with God, he would have been a good king. As it turned out, I really don't believe he was. He really did a lot of damage to the kingdom, to God's chosen people, because he didn't stick with God. He had the wisdom, God granted it to him, but he did not use it. And he went in the wrong direction. He began to follow his own ideas. I believe he realized that towards the end of his life. I believe that's got a lot to do with what the writing of Ecclesiastes was all about. He realized the error of the things he had done, and he realized in the conclusion of it that to fear God and keep His commandments was the whole purpose of man. To be doing what God would have us to do is the whole purpose or the whole duty of man. But I'm thankful that the Lord is willing to speak to my heart. I wouldn't have a clue what to do if He didn't. Would you? I mean, I wouldn't have a clue which direction to go, where to put my foot down next, if God didn't lead me. I didn't have any idea. I'm just going to be honest with you and upfront with you. I didn't have any idea what to bring before the church today, what to share with the church here from this pulpit today. I had to get down before God and ask God to show me what to speak. I don't know what to do. I don't know what you need. I don't know, and I don't believe any of these other preachers do, on any given time when we stand up to preach, we don't know what the people need. But I'll tell you, God does. God knows exactly how to lead and how to direct. And I'm thankful for the fact that He speaks to us and that He's willing to guide us and direct our lives. And so, Brother Ronnie, would you come and sing that song for us? Let's all stand. I want to ask you today to give thought to that very fact of God leading us in our lives. I'll tell you what, church, I believe if we'll give way to the Lord, we'll have a good revival. If we'll just give way to the Lord. So let's stand and sing. Think about the direction that God has given you in your life, the times that He's helped you when you didn't know where to go or what to do.
63. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort from. Whate'er I do, where I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He
I thank you all for coming today, and I'm thankful for your attention. Remember the singing tonight at 6 o'clock. All Hearts at Liberty. Brother Herschel Lowe, would you please dismiss us?
y'all. Have a good day.
Appreciate it.
Have a good day, buddy. Have a good day. Have a good day, buddy. Hello, Miss Judy. How are you? How you been? Good, good. Hi, honey. How are you? Take care, buddy. Yeah, it's going to be a quick get home late tonight.